5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Hammer Down!
Done!
Number one sports betting show coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What?
What? The bearded wonder of the Canadian sensation, Bubba Gumpino.
T's and P's,
Gumpy. T's and P's, Gumpy.
Stay safe out there, Gumpy.
Love you, go! What?
What?
He is saying he's feeling better.
Hell yeah.
I've got his baseball picks for the day.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go.
Some things happened yesterday with the baseball picks.
Really?
The Giants didn't start their starter, so that one went out the window.
That's a void. Yep.
The Mariners got a guy on third base in the fifth inning. No outs. Weren't able to push him across. So
Jesus.
Lesson they lost. There were some things.
Okay. Well, that'll happen.
That'll be fine. They'll be absolutely fine today. Joining us in studio, the mulleted wonder.
Hell yeah.
The Boston sensation.
Hell yeah.
Boston well, Connor.
Thank you for the kind comments,
Tony. No. Sensations. Thank you.
Sensation is very, very honorable of you. Yes, I'm feeling great. We said Mac Jones, Rookie of the Year. We did that, and those odds have massively dropped. So I feel fantastic today. I'm pumped for the show. What are we talking about? What picks do we have?
Now, we did talk about fucking Mac Jones as Rookie of the Year.
Boom.
News broke this morning. I tried to get on to get some more in. Fucking let's get down on Mac Jones again.
Triple down, of course.
That was taken off the board pretty quickly.
Yeah, they are very good at one thing over there, many things over there, but one there thing specifically is when stuff changes like that, that shit's down before you get a chance.
Plus 450. Still not terrible.
Still not terrible. Still really good odds. I still think that is worth getting in on, but the plus 1,000 was highway robbery.
Yeah, I mean, he is on the best team as far as the starting quarterbacks
for sure.
Well, maybe you can make an argument for the Niners.
Yeah.
But he's starting.
But he's, yeah, exactly.
Mac Jones is starting.
And if Lance comes in like week 8, I don't know if that gives him enough time. So it's really just him versus, I personally am thinking it's him versus Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris right now is still plus 1,000.
He's going to get a lot of touches, I think.
Yeah. So I think probably sprinkling on him too. But quarterback driven league, if they win 11 games,
absolutely.
He's got it.
And Trey Lance is missing a fingertip.
True. Yeah. His whole entire.
Shanahan said, I ain't going to tell you which finger, but it's one of the fucking 5. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
It's like a pretty real chip. I mean, I don't know. I'd be very nervous about that.
I don't know how you fucking do that. The only way you do that, I don't know, if you get your finger caught in a helmet normally.
Yeah, they showed the
which
play.
Which you can't do. No. Oh, it was in the game?
Yeah, it was in the game.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, they showed the play. It was like on I thought after it was in a throw.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, from Sunday.
What were you saying back there, dude?
I was going to say, they showed the play on SportsCenter. He hit his finger on a helmet or whatever.
Yeah, on this dude charging in. His thumb, I think.
Mitt, put that camera back on you.
What's up?
What's that?
The hell are you doing, dude?
What's that, dude?
Are you not Southside?
Southside!
No, I am Southside, but I'm a hype boy at first. And I got the Yankees in my parlay tonight, so let's go, Tony.
Wow. Mitt baseball. Mitt's been hot.
Tell you what, I love it's been hot.
Yes.
I love that you're embracing that you are a hype boy.
Yeah. It's about time.
I always have been, always will be. Might
beard
as well
looks
just
good.
Embrace it.
That length of beard is what you should do.
Perfect, yeah.
You think right here?
Yeah.
I got like a little more stubble, and then that's what I'm going to do. Just a little more shadow.
Are you bringing the stash back at all? Or?
I think the stash will probably be back next year. I think it had, you know, a good 8 or
McCorkle
5
doesn't
months.
Have any facial hair, does he?
No facial hair. He's very clean cut, straightforward, all business. So that's why I kind of want to do that a little. But also, I'm a scruff guy. Don't want to be clean shaven. I don't love
personally, I'd love to see a goatee on you.
Oh, man. I could do the goatee because I remember I did the goatee.
Personally, I'd love to see a goatee
beginning
on you
of
with
COVID.
That fucking mullet.
Beginning of COVID last year.
But that's just me.
Hey, something to keep in the repertoire, though. If I do go scruff and then when I do, you know, clean shave it maybe for a week or I could first goatee for the day, clean shave at night.
Can I get a chin strap? Just like...
Chin strap. If I had some Italian blood, maybe I'll spit in the 23andMe thing and then try to see if I... Because chin strap, I mean, I just don't think Irishmen can pull it off.
No.
I don't think anybody can.
No, it's not a... There's a certain sect.
Of people?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We're not it.
No, not at all. I think you got to live in New Jersey or Long Island to be able to
yes.
do it.
Yes. Or certain, like... There was a certain section of Pittsburgh, like the white dudes from a place right next to Plum called Penn Hills. A lot of chin straps there.
Oh, really? Penn Hills?
Yeah.
Over by Turtle Creek?
Not really, but okay, you know, okay, in that right direction.
Sure.
Thank you, Bruce, for answering phones.
Atta baby, Bruce.
We have on in 10 minutes JVT from VSiN. He wrote, he was part of writing their college football preview.
Okay.
So we're going to have him on to talk about week one of college football.
Boom.
I'm just going to go right down a list here of all
these
schools.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
David from Boston. What, hey, what part of fucking Boston are you from?
Here you go, Davey.
Little boys, Hammer Don. First of all, T's and P's to Gump and Sam, and good to see Pat's back on the up and up again. Feel better, Gump.
T's and P's, everybody. Yeah. Dave, what part of Boston are you from?
I just moved up here for school. I'm in the Fenway District right now, BU.
Oh, go Terriers.
So you live pretty well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, where'd you move?
Your city is beautiful. I'm a New Yorker, but this city is nice.
Hey, okay, you got no arguments from me, my friends.
What do you got, David?
I'm here to tell you to take the Jets plus 160 money line against the Panthers next weekend.
Whoa. What about the Sam Darnold revenge game?
Yeah.
Sam Darnold played against a bunch of threes in Pittsburgh and almost threw a pick. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson had 6 drives, 0 3 and out, 2 scores. Looking good right now. I just think the line's too nice not to take. Sam Darnold's always due for one just boneheaded interception, especially in a new system. So. I think Bob Salah is going to lead the boys to a first victory there. 160 is too good not to.
Hey, you don't root for the Jets, do you?
I do. So I've seen the Adam Gase experience.
Okay. Well, I was just talking about the homer angle.
Yeah, true.
But we worry about that
there
with the callers.
Yeah, there is part there. I
don't disagree with a lot that he said.
No.
The Panthers are -4.5 at home versus the New York Jets.
4.5 is a lot.
It is a lot.
I still just don't know about the Jets' O-line. I'm waiting to see how that kind of pans out.
That, you know, they were potentially the worst team in the league last year.
Yeah, for sure.
They were potentially them and the Jaguars, obviously, were. But did they – is Zach Wilson – I'll say this. I think Zach Wilson is better than Sam Darnold.
I definitely would much rather have Zach Wilson. Like, he brings much more to the table, and just from
Panthers got some nice offensive pieces, though.
They do. DJ Moore.
That's probably a game that I'm just going to watch and see what happens.
Yeah, instead of Bennett. I think I'm going to put together a new number player touchdown score parlay.
Okay.
And DJ Moore will, in fact, be a part of that with the new number, too.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, just because I think
they're going to want to.
Yeah, hey, let's sell some jerseys here.
They've actually been confusing to me a little bit in the preseason because I'm like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, the D-backs especially.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, what are we doing? Why is there a number
eight? We'll figure it out. It'll take a little longer. But you remind me of the people love it. The running back under parlay will be coming
Ooh,
back.
Ooh, yes. Need those.
That was awesome.
Yes.
It was a nice little run on the running back under parlay. Excited for that this year. Fuck you, football.
I know, man. I can't wait for these same game touchdown parlays. Sheesh.
I think I put together a parlay this morning of...
For week one?
Just like for fun. No. This is for the season.
Okay.
All my futures are all parlays. Because if I'm doing futures, I'm...
Big.
Let's make some fucking money.
Absolutely.
Let me see here real quick. See if I can pull up anything that I did this morning just off of, you know... Just for fucking fun.
No, sure.
Do you know Odell is +10,000 to lead the league in receiving touchdowns?
+10,000?
Now, I mean, I know they love to feed their backs down there in the red zone, stuff like that, but Odell +10,000 to lead the league in touchdowns.
Why not?
Receiving touchdowns.
Adams last year had, what, 19?
Yeah. I mean, no, they're not. Fuck. I don't know. Kyle Pitts is +10,000.
To lead the league?
Yeah.
I like Pitts. I think I'm going to try and get him in fantasy.
And then I took another flyer, +10,000, T. Higgins.
Really?
Team's going to be behind a lot, I think. A
lot of throwing.
Burrow to T. Higgins, since Jamar Chase cannot fucking catch.
Boyd is going to get the one. Okay.
Something to think about.
Okay.
I took Damian Harris to lead the league in rushing touchdowns.
Yes. What's that odds?
+2,600.
Wow, so they actually are kind
not
of
as
on
deep.
Him. Yeah, they're kind
and
of.
And I also took Mostert +10,000 to lead the league in rushing touchdowns.
Ooh, if he stays healthy, that's a great bet.
That was just some stuff that I looked at this morning.
Okay. And those are on FanDuel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every morning, you know, I'll just look at them, see what the fuck they're like.
Sprinkle.
Dylan from. Oh, Dylon. What's going on, dude?
Dylon.
How are we, boys?
Dylon's our tennis expert.
Oh, that's right. From Wisconsin.
Yes.
How we doing?
Good. How are you, Dylon?
Good. We're U.S. Open's in full swing, so I figured I'd call on with one pick there.
Good, man.
There's a lot of rain expected tomorrow, so I wanted to stick with one, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Then a college football pick. For the U.S. Open, Marketa Vondrousova tomorrow. So she's playing Daria Kasatkina. So Marketa Vanersova is the pick for tomorrow. And then in terms of college football, something I'm looking at, one kind of your guys' thoughts, and if you throw it to the guy on today, great. Sure. I'm looking at Michigan State plus three and a half against Northwestern. Northwestern lost their best defensive lineman, transferred to Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
Best cornerback in the Big Ten got drafted in Newsom. Yeah. Heart and soul of the defense, three-year captain in Patty Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Lost their starting quarterback. The two leading receivers for the last 2 years are both gone, and a couple more guys. So just a lot of production got to replace. So I'll hang up. Good luck, and let me know.
Hold on, Dylan, before you go. Wait, Marketa, is Vander this a Silva, singles?
Women's.
This is a singles women?
Yep, WTA for tomorrow.
What time is she going at?
All the times on here are still TBD, but it's Marketa Vondrousova. So
Vondrousova.
With a V.
VONDROUSOVA.
Okay.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan.
that
kid hits, right?
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. I actually told Foxy this week. I also may take Michigan State.
Whoa.
Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern, great coach.
Yeah.
Great coach.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State, second-year head coach. His name is slipping my mind. I believe he came over from Colorado. Anyways, the Northwestern is only returning 9 starters, 4 on offense, 5 on defense. 130th in the nation as far as experience is coming back on this team. I'm very, very down. Mel Tucker, thank you, Foxy. I'm down. I'm down on Northwestern. Michigan State obviously scares me. They have not been good the last few years at all.
However,
10 starters are returning on offense. Ooh. I believe all 5 offensive linemen.
Quarterback as well, right?
Yeah. No, actually. They're going to get it.
He's the only one.
They had some guys transfer in. So I may take Michigan State plus the 3.5.
My biggest regret of all time from last college football season was not taking Michigan State against Michigan because they were like plus 26.5 mm-hmm. and ended up winning. So I will, because of that bet, ride the Spartans as well this weekend.
Rocky from Oregon, what do you got?
Hammer.
Done.
Hey, boys. T's and P's to Gump, Sam.
T's and P's.
Pat's doing good.
T's and P's, everybody.
You're rocking the fuck out of that jersey, man. You're looking good.
Thank you. Hey,
so, I am just calling. I'd like to, you know, maybe bet Foxy here week one. Ooh. Niners, Detroit, money line. I take Niners, he takes Detroit, but who knows? Fade Foxy.
Well, that's kind of...
But going into the year, is it concerning that with the Niners, the last Sunday, they did a 2-quarterback system, and now I'm trying to put some, you know, future bets out, and it's like, I don't know if Jimmy's going to be starting every play or every game because we're going to prog both. If any suggestions on how to put down futures bets for that?
Thank you, Rocky.
Sure.
I'm chalking that up to Shanahan kind of wanted to see how it would work in the last preseason game.
Yeah.
Those two, they both went 5 plays on the first drive. Trey Lance was running more of an RPO run first type thing, yeah. And then Jimmy obviously was more of the conventional. I wouldn't worry about it.
I mean, it just gives like teams something.
Shanahan's
going to
do
about.
What's best for that fucking team.
Yeah, and he's no matter who's in there, he's going to figure out, you know, how to attack defenses. And plus now defenses have to prepare for both, mm-hmm. but also Foxy's not going to do that bet. He's so soft. He knows the Lions are going to win or lose, excuse me.
Foxy, kid's got no chance.
He's got no chance.
I feel bad for him. He's a good kid.
Absolutely.
But
however, they got no chance.
They got no chance. Jake from Iowa, what do you got?
What's up? We got Iowa -3.5 and under 45.5. 100% locked. Guaranteed.
Thank you, Jake. I think that was another homer call.
Homer. Game. That has been a conversation in the office, though, this Indiana-Iowa game. I hate betting against Indiana because it's almost like, oh, you want to bet against Indiana, but you live in Indiana, so how about we make you lose that bet?
None of us in this office, though, are IU fans.
No, not at all. And Ty's an Iowa fan. He says Correct. Kirk's dogs are going to be ready to go. But I do think, to that kid's point, the under seems to be the move because both defenses are going to be good.
Both defenses were – Iowa was ranked number one last year in yards per play. Indiana was 42nd. They both – Indiana returns 9. Iowa returns 7 on defense. So not a real worry there. Offenses were not great last year at all. Indiana's quarterback, who is pretty good. What's his name again?
Penix.
Yeah.
That's how you say it?
Yeah. He got hurt at the end of last year, so Indiana's offense kind of faltered after that.
He's back.
Curran. This is a tough pick.
I know.
This is a tough game to pick.
I'm probably going to end up taking Indiana just despite Ty, because I know that he's going to be on
Iowa. I like that idea.
But I'm going to take the under to cover the Indiana pick, because I feel like the under is the lock here.
46.5 is what I have it on the sheet. I don't know what it's at right now.
It's low.
It is at 45.5.
It's
Indiana
dropping.
Money line is in my parlay. I'm sorry, Ty.
Sheesh.
Penix coming back. No. Ty Fogle on the outside. Let's go, Indiana.
Fogle. Jeez, I don't know if I want to bet on a team with a Fogle on it.
Before we get to our guest, Jerry from Utah, what do you got?
What's up, boys? Hammer down. Peace and peace to Gumpy.
Peace and peace, everybody.
Basically one of my favorite humans of all time. But I have two quick questions. Wondering, when is it useful to use a round robin? And also, why should I not take a bunch of these favorites in college football and just tease them all to a lower spread and get plus money on them?
Tell you what. There's an old saying. The only thing you're teasing when you're doing teasers is teasing yourself.
Yourself. Okay? That's right. Teasing you.
You're fucking teasing yourself, because there is going to be a dog that comes out and fucking ruins that teaser.
Exactly. I feel like when you're going to tease all the favorites, you got to do that in the NFL. Like, in college, like, if you were to tease all the 7-point spreads in the NFL down, I feel like there's probably one or two.
That's better than
Doing the college ones. College is just such a wishy-washy,
especially
emotional.
Especially week one.
Yes. Like, they don't really know who's good yet.
Now, that being said, I probably will go out there and fucking do it.
Sure. Absolutely.
I just don't expect it to win.
No.
If you're going to tease college football, I feel like the move is definitely teasing the underdog, get the spread high as shit, and hope for a close game.
If you like
game.
It, for sure.
That's a good idea.
Because you know why, Mitt? What's the best type of bet?
The bet that you feel comfortable with.
Absolutely.
Boom. How about that?
The greatest bet of all time.
Let's also not forget, last year the Jags did have that 7-point spread in week one against the Colts, and they did.
They also ruined every single person's Survivor.
All of them. Oh, yeah. We got to do that this year.
Survivor?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll fucking do it. Hey, will you give Mr. JVT a call, Jay?
Have to do it.
Connor, I appreciate you fucking joining us today.
Anytime. I'm pumped for tomorrow. I'm already going to have a couple more of these picks, especially now that I find out that these the league in touchdowns, I haven't seen those.
Oh, yeah.
I would stick around, but I have absolutely zero college football questions.
I know.
Because I already got my UCF.
And you got other jobs to do in here.
Yeah, hey, we got a couple things to
you.
Do.
Hey, I appreciate you fucking joining
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Tony.
Thank you, Paul.
Hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow, all right?
See you tomorrow.
Mitt, bring the heat. Ask a great question, all right? Your mic's muted because you're calling him, but you said absolutely. I saw you. Cheers, boys. Hammer Dodd.
Hammer Dodd. Baseball caller, we will get to you after our guest, friend of the show. We had him on before because he is listed as an NBA expert, but the man is a chameleon. He can do everything. I just read a bunch of his work in the VSiN College Football Preview and the NFL preview. So I said, hey, I'm going to reach out, have him on, at me, JVT, on Twitter. JVT, Jonathan Von Toba, welcome back to Hammer Down, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, beautiful home office.
Yeah, you know, I set it up just for you guys, because last time I talked to you, I was broadcasting from the bowels of the Silver Sevens Casino in the parking garage, so I had to make up for it.
No, that was awesome. That just added to the allure of the betting program.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got through the college football preview, VSiN college football preview. Hey, awesome work. Was there?
Thank you.
I just saw your name pop up every once in a while. Were you doing just certain conferences, or you guys handed out different teams? How did that work?
So I did the Mountain West. I covered the Mountain West for a while when I was doing local radio and everything like that. And it's kind of been a conference I'm very familiar with, both college hoops and college football. So we were assigned conferences. This year I was assigned the Mountain West Conference.
Okay, well, I love Nevada.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, no, I think you should, right? Like, there's a lot to returning. Like about Nevada. When you look at from a quarterback perspective, Carson Strong is going to be one of those guys that is going to be talked about as one of the top guys in the draft class this coming year. And he has a lot coming back in front of him. He gets all five of his receivers from last season back, an offensive line that's missing just one guy from a year ago. I think ultimately the thing that would potentially hold them back is a schedule that's pretty tough, right? You're talking about road games against Cal, Kansas State, Boise State in the first 5 weeks of the season. So that's going to be, I think, a pretty good challenge for them. But when you have a quarterback at the level of Strong, they're going to be a really good team. So I would say there is absolutely a lot to like about what you see with Nevada. I think ultimately it's just, can they navigate a tricky schedule to get to like 8-9 wins?
I'm thinking about taking them with 3 in the hook this weekend against Cal, at Cal. How do you feel about that game?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it because I think Cal's going to be really limited offensively, right? I think that's the one thing we've kind of been waiting for from the Golden Bears is from a team that's been so solid and steady defensively over the last couple of seasons, are they going to be able to pick that up on the offensive side? So if we're talking like 3 and a hook for this Nevada team that's got championship aspirations, that would be the side that I would rather be on as opposed to laying that with Cal. I think this is an offense that has continuity, that is coming back together with Nevada. They're going to be able to find a next step here with Strong at quarterback. So I would rather be on the side of the Wolfpack 100%.
Let's just stay there in the Mountain West because a very, very intriguing game on Thursday night, Boise at UCF. I think I'm going to stay away because I just want to see how these teams do with their new coaching staffs. Do you have any opinion on that game at all?
So this is a really fascinating one for the market. So I don't know how much you guys paid attention to South Point's games of the year. The South Point Chris Andrews actually opened this up at Central Florida minus 10.
Yeah.
And then we got to as low as like 4, 4.5, but we started to make our way back up. So I have my reservations about Boise State. I found myself kind of gravitating toward the Central Florida side. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things, you know, right? One, they just named Hank Bachmeier quarterback. And from a record perspective, he's great. He's 11-2 as a starting quarterback. It's what you want. But he's a guy who holds onto the ball way too long, takes a lot of sacks. He's missed 8 games over the last 2 seasons. It's representative of that. Takes a lot of punishment. If you look overall, if we're talking about the situation for Boise State, Andy Avalos coming in as a first-time head coach, how does this look like now that they're making that transition, as you kind of mentioned, and making that trip on the road to Central Florida team that, you know, Malzahn's taken over, it's his first year here, but there's really good and intriguing depth along that defensive line. I think you're really going to like this offense a lot under Malzahn, given the pieces they have and what they have at quarterback, too, and Dylan Gabriel. So I found myself gravitating towards Central Florida. I think the market's right in moving it back in that direction. 10's really strong, right? That opener of the South Point. But I think like 4, like now that you're like that dead number area, 5-ish for Central Florida, we're creeping back to where it probably should be.
Yeah, and I believe I saw in the college football preview, potentially Malzahn, not a new head coach. So obviously, right, he's been around. Boise State with Avalos is a brand new head coach. So there's an angle there potentially. I also don't know if I like Boise going down to Central Florida in that humidity and trying to deal with that offense for 4 quarters.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's a long trip for them as well, and you have to get used to that. I mean, there was a spot, if you remember, 2 years ago where they did go to Florida State, had a really good performance out in humidity, but that was not when Florida State was on a good point with their program. There was a really good win for them, but I would say yes, like it's not a favorable situation for Boise State given all of everything that they have, and they're a really good defensive team. I think there's a lot to like on that end, but I think it's just such an unfavorable situation for them given everything that you look at, and I really do have questions about how good Bachmeier is going to be overall.
I was just looking. I was looking through some games that I potentially like, and one of them is a Mountain West team versus Pac-12, San Jose State, plus 15.5 at USC. I love what San Jose State has coming back, but obviously there's always a worry that it could get out of hand with a talented USC team. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so I think, look, if we're starting to get back to like that 14.5, because this opened 16.5, and now we're sitting at that 14. I think that was one of the games they'd circled. I've got a couple of plays, but that's one where I'm monitoring because San Jose State's my pick, again, to win the Mountain West. Yeah. This is, for those who don't know, it's a really talented team. They have a quarterback, too. I think one of the things that works for you, right, Nick Starkel's a guy who's played in Power 5 games. Maybe not an extremely high level, but Starkel's really good, 16-27. They have that game under their belt as well. So he had that 16-27 performance last week against Southern Utah. So you really like that in terms of having some game rep, right? They have a really good defensive front, one of the best pass rushers in the Mountain Mountain West on their end as well. And I find myself kind of struggling with this Southern Cal team, because this last year they were 5-1. Three of those games, they just pulled out of their ass, right? Yep. Like, they were barely getting by in some of those games, and they were getting by. And usually when you see those one-score wins like that, that generally regresses to the mean here. And you're talking about 14 points against a title contender and a defending conference champ. I think if we're talking like 14.5, once it creeps back up at that range, I've got San Jose State circled as well.
Yeah, I like that. I also like Western Michigan plus. I got them at 16.5 against Michigan. Those are two bigger spreads that I liked against against heavier favorites. You just mentioned they had played last week in San Diego State. Are you looking? Do you do anything as far as maybe favoring teams that already have one game under their belt, like, you know, Illinois, Fresno, UCLA against LSU? Are you taking that into account at all?
Yeah, I think it helps, right? Like, but for as with any angle, I think it's always a piece of the pie. So, like, you do your breakdown, you do your handicap, and on top of that, you know, it just gives you a slight edge that one team is just a little bit more game ready, right? Like, they've gotten in the flow of preparing for an opponent over the course of a week. Yep. They've gotten the bodies warm and started hitting a little bit more in competitive scenarios. So I think that just gives you the slight edge. You know, how much it helps, I don't think we have, like, a really great sample size on how it really works, but I think in terms of just giving you that extra little thing in your quiver of arrows as a team, I think it definitely can't hurt that you've been in action in competitive stance as opposed to the other team that's been sitting and getting ready.
Yeah, I think I might take a look at UCLA. And I like UTSA UTSA this season. They got a lot of returning stars. I may take a look at them against Illinois, which goes against that. But then UCLA, on the other hand, they looked great against Hawaii. Hawaii can't stop the run. It's going to be different against LSU. Are you looking at anything there?
Yeah, so like both of those, right, for example. So Illinois, it's going to be Art Sitkowski, looks like a quarterback. But to your point, like, yes, they played. But, look, I was on Illinois. I don't think they looked that impressive for the most part, right? Like, that third quarter drive was really good. But you're talking about a Nebraska team that kind of let them win that game.
First half, Nebraska probably should have been up by 14.
Right. You know what I mean? We're talking about missed touchdown throws by Adrian Martinez, special teams issues, like all of these things. And so I didn't come away. I felt like that was one of those where I was like, hey, I got away with one. Because at one point I was watching that game thinking that Nebraska was going to stretch the lead. And then sure enough, we go into the halftime with that score. So, like, Illinois is a team that I want to want a part of. UCLA is interesting in that matchup because these are two teams that I have a lot of question marks about personally, right? Yeah. Like, for UCLA, you beat the crap out of Hawaii. And clearly that was an overmatched Hawaii team. But this is a defense that since Chip Kelly's been there has never allowed less than 30 points per game or 400 yards per game. You're talking about an LSU team that Ed Orgeron is desperately grasping at that championship team, right? Getting coordinators now at offense and defense that have ties to the two coordinators that were on your staff that year, right? You're switching things up. You have Max Johnson, who's going to be under center. Started the last two games and were great, but you started the last two games at quarterback last season against lesser defensive opponents. And yes, one of them was Florida, but if you look at some of the, you know, Florida, it's 85th in opponent yards per attempt through the air, 82nd in opponent yards per play last year defensively. So, and Ole Miss as well. I don't know what this offense is going to look like for LSU. So, to me, at least with this UCLA game, there were too many question marks where I just didn't really want a part of it. But I will say, going back to the point of we've seen teams in action, you do like that you saw the strengths for UCLA, right? You saw a dynamic pass rush. Yep. You saw a really good running game. And those are the things we expected to be good for UCLA, and that played out yesterday or last week on the field.
JVT, Mitt's got a question for you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And also, and I just wanted to get to the Clemson-Georgia game. Mm-hmm. I really like Georgia. Mm-hmm. JT Daniels, the experienced quarterback. Seems like this Clemson team, you don't really know what you're going to get with DJ.
Good luck.
I'm not going to pronounce his name.
Ungalele.
Yeah. Do you have a play on that game? I was just kind of wondering.
So I laid a little bit of Clemson -3, and I'm just more worried about, because I think big picture wise, Georgia is really set up for success. Yeah. In our college football guide, this is actually my national championship game, because I think the rest of the schedule is cake for Georgia, and they have an opportunity to get healthy. I think that's my problem with Georgia coming into this game, because I like JT Daniels. I like the way the schedule sets up. When you talk about Darnell Washington probably missing the game, you're talking about Arik Gilbert still not with the team. You're talking about a lot of, like, depth just not there at the skill positions for Georgia. And the one thing that I think we know about Clemson this year is that their defense is going to be sick, right? Like, they have one of the best defensive lines lines in the country. Their entire linebacking core is back this year. A lot of continuity in the secondary, too. And so while I think there's rightfully so some question marks about DJ Uiagalelei and that offense and what that's going to look like, I think for the most part what worries me here is Georgia taking on that defense and what that's going to look like for JT Daniels. I think big picture-wise, Georgia's going to be fine. But the injuries turned me off enough where I just laid a little bit of three with Clemson as one of my plays this weekend.
Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks ago they lost two more starters. Yep. Mitt, you got a follow-up?
Yeah, and then just to go off of that, do you have a Heisman pick? Ooh. I think Derek King is going to run away with it, have a great year, lead Miami to the national championship. Who do you have?
So, I mean, if you can, and the odds vary, but let's talk about the guy we just spoke about. Like, I think JT Daniels with a really soft schedule is a really live candidate for that. And in the offseason, there was range from like 12 to 1 to 20 to 1 on him. And if you're talking more in the range of that 20 to 1 price on JT Daniels to win the Heisman, I'm totally down with something like that. Because I think for me, you know, Heisman obviously has to do with winning games. Georgia can totally do that. And with the softer type of schedule, there's an opportunity for him to kind of pad the stats and build up some numbers here as Georgia goes along. And if we're talking about a one-loss Georgia team by the time we get to, you know, the SEC championship, I think that JT Daniels, and think about it too from a narrative perspective, this is a Georgia team that has struggled to find like dynamic quarterback play for a while. Mm-hmm. So if JT Daniels is going to be that guy, yeah, I think that Daniels would be really live to win that award.
I took a flyer on Desmond Ridder. I think it was 40 to 1. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Cincy can go potentially undefeated and he does statistically what he normally does, I felt like there's, as a flyer, that's not a bad bet there.
No, I wouldn't disagree. Like, I always worry with these types of awards, though, right? Like, correct. You know, with media members and the human element, like, do they actually want to sift through the nuance of being able to see what a Desmond Ridder would do? Or would they say, hey, man, that's not a tough enough schedule? I'm not, you know, like, that's always my worry in a realm like college football, right? Because in all these other professional leagues in which you can play, you know, place bets on awards, it's a level playing field. You're all playing in the NBA. You're all playing in the NFL. And I think when it comes to something like college football, some of these writers are so, you know, judgment is clouded by either the conference they cover or whatever it is, the SEC myth, we want to talk about that potentially holds him back. But you're talking about a flyer at long odds, and yeah, that's absolutely worth it.
Well, I'll tell you this. Herb Street was on Pat's show, and I knew that we needed a mouthpiece for Ridder, so I told him, hey, we need to push that narrative on the Heisman this season. I heard you say earlier that it was one of the things or the picks, that potential games that you like this weekend. Is there any others that we haven't talked about that you feel strongly about?
Yeah, so I played under 62 in this Alabama-Miami game. Okay. And I think, you know, it's the market's moving in that direction. That, you know, there's some 61s out there, 61.5s, still 62 available out there as well. But I think if you start with Alabama, there's so much turnover offensively. Oh, yeah. And this isn't a Alabama's going to be bad thing, right? I think this is more, you're talking about Bryce Young taking the starting quarterback job. If you look at the level of quarterback play that Alabama has had over the last few years, right? We're talking last 3 years, 48 points per game, 45 points per game, 43 points per game. While Young might be explosive as his career goes on, I think we might see a reversion a little bit back to the offenses we saw of Alabama pass, right? You have a pretty good offensive line. You've got a really solid running game. But there's so much turnover at the skill positions in a quarterback that maybe this is a, you know what? We have one of the best front sevens in the entire country. Let's just run the ball. Let's get our guy comfortable here early on, and let's start to work our offense in that regard. So I think we're going to see it a shade closer to what we saw in the years past as opposed to that. And on the other side, like, we were talking about Derek King. I have my reservations about a guy coming off of an ACL tear in a bowl game, right? Like, what that looks like for this Miami team. And yes, you know, Manny Diaz calling plays again for that defense. I wonder if that's good or bad. But I think at the end of the day, I toyed with taking like the 18.5 with Miami, but I think this is more of a lower scoring contest where we see a little bit more smash mouth run game, good defense from Alabama, and a lower scoring contest than 62 points.
Yeah, I think you could live with the under, but if you take Miami plus the 18.5 and they lose by 28, you're like, I should have known that.
Right. If we get like a 45-3 showing or something like that, right? Like that, and it would kill me. So yeah, that's the route I went with. And I think that I'm fascinated by Alabama because I think they're going to have the best defense in the country. I love everything they have. They kid that kid out of Tennessee that's playing middle linebacker for them. It allows guys to shift around. I think you're going to really see with Barmore, Dylan Moses, Patrick Surtain are gone from them defensively. But this is going to be one of the better defensive teams we've seen from Alabama, I think, in a while. That's saying something because they've been great.
Anything else besides that under you like?
No, like I said, like I told you, or the other one too, and I want to see if the market's going to happen or if in game there's going to be an opportunity. I don't hate Texas this year offensively, and like we saw a lot, we saw Hudson Card get named as a starter. But, like, I want to see if the market gets to, like, 7 or lower, or if they in-game, if I'm going to get a little bit of a cheaper price on Texas. Louisiana's really good, and they got, what, 20 guys coming back.
Yeah.
Levi is going to be really great at quarterback. This is going to be a team that is, you know, New Year's Six Bowl, man, they're going to be awesome. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Bijan Robinson, an offensive line that's got four guys back other than their left tackle, skill positions. Like, there's a lot to like here about this Texas team offensively. And remember, Sarkisian, we were talking about that Alabama offense. They averaged 48 points with him calling the shots last year. And while he has a lot of talent, I still think he's a really decent play caller. I think there's something to like there about Texas. So I'm going to see if the market still gets in a little over the head. If it gets under 7, for sure. But an in-game opportunity for Texas, I think, is there.
You're killing me. That was one of the ones earlier when I talked about San Jose State versus USC, Western Michigan versus Michigan. And then the last one was I was leaning Raging Cajuns against Texas just because of the turnover and because they are such a deep and proven and more veteran team versus, and actually I was kind of happy if I was on Louisiana Lafayette's side with the quarterback announcement that they made, because I saw the other kid last year in the bowl game and he looked pretty good.
So, well, he did. And I think there's something to be said, though, right? Like, when we're talking about changing offenses, now all of a sudden it's a level playing
field. True.
And now, and when you read reports that I think one of the things that had plagued him were turnovers in camp. And by the way, the reports are that they're probably going to see maybe not evens, but we're going to see both of them, I think, in this game.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, I think, like, when you're talking about seeing if the market is going to get under 7, right? If it gets under that 7, which I doubt, so I'm going to wait for an in-game opportunity for a game that opened 9 in the offseason. There's some pretty good value there, I think, for a pretty decent Texas team.
Hey, are we just going against New Mexico State and UConn for the rest of the year? Or?
It seems like so. I was talking about this the other day on the show. You guys remember, like, 2 years ago, there was that Akron team that was awful,
yeah,
like putrid, and they were, I think they were 1-11 against the spread. They covered one game at the beginning of the year, and they were covering nothing. And I think that's, it's a really troubling sign that you're catching 10 points against that UTSA team that you can't cover. Like, it could be really bad. I think there's actually, shockingly, some things to potentially like about UConn, but that New Mexico State team, I think, could reach, like, that 2018, 2019 Akron level of ineptitude.
Oh, yeah. All right, last question before we let you out here, and we can't thank you enough. At MeJVT on Twitter, you're also contributed to the NFL guide as well, correct, on VSiN?
Yep. I wrote up the AFC North and the AFC East this year. So those are my two divisions.
I don't want to hear what you have to say about the Steelers, because I feel like I've heard you say bad things about them. So I'm not going to ask you about that. A game that's causing some talk in the office. We obviously live in Indianapolis. We have an Iowa fan in here. Iowa. I believe Iowa's -3 at home versus IU. Do you have any thoughts at all on that?
No, I didn't, but I will say this, because the market is really high on Indiana, I think, for the most part. Like, there is the attraction for Indiana after what they did a year ago. I see the opening number was, what, 5.5, especially South Point games of the year were there, and you're down to 3.5. You know, as that continues to dip and you're starting to see some threes on the board, you're going to get some value on Iowa at some point. Look, I like what Indiana did a season ago, but I think it's hard to reliably look at last year, right, and be like, this is what we're going to get. Everything's linear as we move forward, and growth is going to happen, because that was an odd year last year, given all the situations. So I think as you get under that 3 mark, because those are popping up, you're going to start to get some value, especially if it dips into that key number, for sure.
JVT, can't thank you enough. Enjoy every single thing you do. At MeJVT, are you consistently doing any shows on the lineup yet?
So nothing is officially announced, but I will say you'll be seeing more of me very soon.
Hey, they need to get you on there more consistently. I'm telling you. Can't thank you enough. Have a great day. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, JVT. All right, Mitt, how do you feel about it?
I mean,
you love Georgia, huh?
I really like Georgia to win. I don't know why. I think JT Daniels, like you said, I think JT Daniels is geared up for a great season. It's going to start out big game week one. Let's go. I like it. Fuck it.
You think there's any chance he's going to be able to cut to you? You're out of your mind.
Do you know which camera that is, Mitt? You heard it here first. Von Tobel likes Kirk's dogs. He likes the Hawks, baby. They're going to win the Big Ten this year.
How do you feel about the Hawks this year? It's always their fucking quarterback.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. I've long been a big, anytime like a
Actually,
guy.
It's always their offense. Like, what the fuck is their offense?
They should. I mean, they got a couple good running backs. Their line will always be good. The thing that always worries me is typically if a guy from California is going to Iowa to play quarterback,
That's true. Not a good sign. You know, if they got a guy from, like, maybe Texas, they've had a couple get Drew Tate, but typically they don't have guys that aren't from the Midwest playing, you know, quarterback and stuff like that. So that he wasn't great last year. Their defense returns, I think, 7 starters. Offense returns 6 starters. We'll see. I mean, Iowa's good to either go 8-4 or,
yep,
you know, if they have a really good year, they'll go 10-2. If not, they'll probably go 8-4.
It's good to be back, though.
It's good to be back, baby. Kirk's Dogs are hungry, and they're ready to go this year. Fucking season opener at Kinnick, nothing better.
Thank you, Ty.
Thank you, Von Tobel and Tony.
Mitt, what did you think of anything else? Did anything else stand out?
No.
I gave away some of the games that I like and he likes in there. San Jose State against USC. I do think San Jose State's going to be very good. But as I said there, USC has one of the best quarterbacks in the country. It could get out of control. Who knows? Nevada plus a 3.5 against Cal. UCLA, I think I'm taking against LSU just because they've played already. You don't like that one because you're a hype boy. Hype boys love LSU.
Yeah, hype boys also love UCLA, though. So
okay. Doesn't your sister go to UCLA, did?
Yeah, she had her first she played soccer there. She had her first start. Shout out Q Money. But I'm seriously torn. That's my game I'm looking at. I have no idea which way to go. I might just bet the over.
We talked about Michigan State Northwestern a little bit. Like, I don't know if I want to go into the fucking mud in week one and watch that fucking thing.
See, dude, I watched a Big Ten game last week, and I remember just how bad a football that was.
Well, guess
I
what? It's not going to get that much better with Northwestern and Michigan
State. Yeah, see, like, I just don't even want to watch that game, so I'm not going to bet it, I think.
A game I love this week as well is Georgia State minus 2.5 versus Army.
I love the under in that.
Army was not very good last year.
I love that under.
Sorry. Army was good last year. I confused Army and Navy for a second. Army's offense is not great. Army's defense is great. I like Georgia State's offense. That's on me. Navy was not great last year. I don't know if they're going to be great again this year either.
Navy did get blown out by Army. That 49.5 under is definitely a play for sure.
I'm also looking at Maryland plus the 3.5 versus WVU. WVU's offense was fucking terrible last year.
Yeah, people on the internet were hating on Tua's brother, Talia Tagovailoa.
He made some good plays last year.
Yeah, I was expecting a really good year out of him. I was actually like thinking maybe sprinkle a little Big Ten winner.
I was on the edge on the edge. I think I'm going to take UCF.
Tony, I did take UCF at 5.5. I really fucking like it. And I mean, going off what JVT said, he follows Boise State, their quarterback, not the best. Mm-hmm. We got Dylan Gabriel, great player, great storyline. That's what college football is all about. Let's go, week one.
Plus the angle, Malzahn knows how. Like, Malzahn's coached in an opener before. He's led a team through a camp before.
Oh, yeah. Gussie big game Malzahn. Let's go.
That's what they call him, dude. Let's get the baseball call. We'll give out our baseball picks, and then I think we're pretty much good for today. Dave from Louisiana, what do you got?
How we doing, boys? Hammer down.
Thanks for hanging on the phone, Dave.
How we doing, boys? Hammer down.
Hammer down.
Shout out, Dave.
Peace and peace to Gump. Let's get to some baseball here. Hopefully he agrees with my picks. I'm looking at a trio of late-night West Coast picks. Yankees over the Angels, first half. Yes. It's supposed to be Ohtani. Barria.
Yep.
That's pretty much a lock. You got Snell in Arizona, first half, and then also Bueller out in Los Angeles.
I will fucking take Bueller with you. Tyon had a great stretch. He's cooled off a little bit as of late. I don't know why I didn't take Snell. Snell on the road sometimes scares me, but fucking Bueller, I am with you. Obviously, he's against Chucky ball game. Let me pull up Gumpy's picks right now.
As you're doing that, Tony, I did take a side in that game. It's part of my parlay. I got the Chicago White Sox first half result, New York Yankees first half result, and then the kicker, we got the Atlanta Braves Chucky ball games plus a half in the first half. All that parlayed plus
baseball 429. All right, so Gumpy has the Reds first five money line, the A's first five money line. He agrees with the caller in Padres first five money line, and then he's got the Cleveland baseball team plus a half. Once again, that's Reds first five money line, A's first five money line, Padres first five money line, and Cleveland first five plus a half.
Thank you, Gumpy.
Thank you, Gumpy. Get well soon.
Miss you, Gumpy.
I hope he comes on tomorrow.
I'll FaceTime.
Reds. This is me. This is Tony's picks. I got the Reds first half result, minus 115. Got the Brewers first half money line. Woodruff is going. We don't know who's going for the Giants yet, or at least we didn't an hour ago when I put in the bet. And then the Dodgers first half result, minus 130. So for me, Reds first half result, minus 115. Brewers first half money line, minus 126. And then the Dodgers first half result, minus 130. How do you feel about that, Mitt? Pretty good.
I think you got all winners other than your last one, because I'm going against you on that. But
what was the last one? Fight. The Dodgers?
Yeah, I got Chucky Ballgame plus a half.
Okay. Well, fuck off, then.
Whoa.
Chargers, 49ers, and Rams all to win week one. Niners and Rams have the Lions and the Bears, so I love that. Who do the Chargers have week one? I think it's – is it against the football team? If I remember correctly.
Why is that only plus 250?
Well, because the Rams and 49ers are ginormous favorites. I mean, that's just how gambling works, Paul.
Yeah, but it's still the NFL, dude. Let me see. Three-team parlay.
Was I right? Yeah, Chargers are on the road against the football team. I'm not willing to lose the money on that game. People love the Chargers. People are very high on the Chargers this year.
I really don't. I see why they have a quarterback and people get excited, but so does the Washington football team. Like, Fitzpatrick was playing playoff level football for the Dolphins, and then Tua kind of came in and fucked it all up. So,
okay, I just want to say, because I can't have that said on this show, Fitzpatrick is not Justin Herbert. Mitt, you know that, right?
What?
Fitzpatrick is not as good as Justin Herbert.
I mean, as talented, I wouldn't say as talented. I think he's a good-ass player.
There's a reason. Listen, I love Fitzpatrick.
I honestly have no idea why.
You know, and I know, there's a reason why he's been on 16 teams in 16 years, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a traveling man, but
okay.
Why is there this
weird
in? I'm trying to think weird of a what? Word.
I love. Let's let you think about it.
Because I was about to say something I definitely cannot say.
Jesus, Mitt. All right, that was a show. I don't know what you were going to say, and I don't want to find out. Why do
people love the Chargers? I just, like, what is it? This infatuation with the Chargers. What is it? That was the word I was looking for.
Infatuation.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear what you thought you were going to say. It's a new coach, and it's Justin Herbert. They also have great weapons.
So they're just thinking, like, Anthony Lynn's not going to fuck it up this time? Like,
yes, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people thought that Anthony Lynn was potentially the worst coach in the NFL.
Okay, that's actually totally valid. Okay.
Okay. Favorite NFL futures, CP Flav ass. We'll do that tomorrow. Can't thank JVT enough for coming on. That was good information.
Thank you, JVT.
Good information. He likes the under in that Bama Miami game. I don't hate that.
I mean, if you like the under, you might as well just take Miami with the points too, man. Teams, you're getting 18.5.
Both teams are going to run the football.
Yeah. Low scoring, close affair.
Damn, there's so many fucking good games this weekend. It's going to be awesome. It's cool! We can't thank you enough. We will be back tomorrow, 15 minutes after Pat's show. I believe the rollover is at 1750. So if you haven't been playing on that, we haven't tweeted about it. Fucking get on it, man. What's your hoodie say?
My hoodie right now, fucking Dallas Cowboys.
Is there a fucking Lakers T-shirt underneath there?
I'm wearing a Lakers Kobe Bryant cutoff. Yeah. R.I.P. I miss you, Kobe. I love you.
You might have the most hype boy outfit of all time on right now. You're an unbelievable.
Lakers.
You're a cartoon fucking Cowboys. Human being, oh, yeah. Dude.
Hey, Yankees tonight too. Let's go.
Who's your baseball? Did you just fall off the desk?
I slipped a little bit, yeah.
We need you back up. Fucking need you back, dude. Can't thank you guys enough. Good luck.
God bless.
Hammer.
Don.